We'll do today Simon Kuf Chaf Halachot Tes. Okay, first we'll do Halachot. We're really not going to talk about the din, but I'll explain to you what it says anyhow. Mishkin Avik Rechav and Klil Yisrael. If a guy gave a mashkin to someone who's Jewish, so it's a guy's kli, and what we're going to talk about is that the underlying assumption here is that a kli that belongs to a guy, you're not willing to do tefillah for. But he gave it to the yid now. So im nir b'das Avik Rechav Shavoyt Zol Shaka B'yaday. If the guy plans on leaving it by you, you're going to keep this mashkin. Tall and tefillah, you need to have tefillah because we compare things to clay midyan, and as long as it's going to be by you, you're going to keep it. Then it's, even though it's not technically yours yet, but it will eventually become yours. It's already shakur
b'yaday. You have to pay with this,
right? The plan is he's not going to pay, and he's going to let you keep the mashkin. It's not 100. It's not base. It's but basically that's where it's heading. Then you need to tell him because it's already enough yours that you
require to pay. That performance is indication of future.
Let's say the imlav. What happens if you don't know? What happens if you don't know? Then you have to learn the blood bracha. And tell that bracha or yikne kli achar b'yitblenu imoy, or by another kli and tell that kli together with this one. Okay, so I mentioned once before, and this is the only place where the machaber says that there's such a thing as a tefillah bli bracha. Okay, the Ramad says it a bunch of times, and the Achronim say the other place can say it all over the place. There's the only case that the machaber says tefillah without bracha. I mean, it's a suffix. Why is it a suffix? Because it's suffix in the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara says a case. A guy gives someone a mashkin, and the person titled it. He titled it before he used it. And the Gemara says they were masupik. If the reason why he titled it is because he holds mashkantik as vina, when you get a mashkin, it's as if you bought it and it's mechuyevin tefillah no matter what. Or it happened to be that the guy planned to leave it by him. So since it was we weren't sure why the person titled it, so therefore we titled it misupik. Okay, we're not sure. It could be that it's automatically chayvin tefillah even if you're not supposed to keep it. And therefore we titled it misupik. Tefillah blood bracha. The Gemara says it leaves off as a suffix.
Right.
So if it's a suffix, so since it's a suffix, we tell that bracha.
No,
that's the only time the Machaber says that. In all the other cases, the Machaber tells you what he thinks the din is. The Amar is, in more cases, I'm not sure what the din is, or we should be not
confused. Those cases usually have the Amar's own shot.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Now, and the Ramah therefore says, the Ramah sticks in the other half, which is beside from the Shtakev, what happens if in the end, it ends up that the Yid does end up keeping it? So now you originally titled it in something. So then Yachsev gets on the boy bracha, then titled it again boy bracha, because now, again, maybe the first tefillah was nothing, and therefore now it becomes a chayvin tefillah, and therefore you have to be titled now boy bracha when you decide that you're going to keep it. Okay? Okay, so this, first we're going to talk about a tefillah kelim issue, and then we're going to branch out of tefillah kelim. Okay, so the tefillah kelim issue is, again, as I said, this assumption is all here is that if a guy has a kli, and I use it, I'm not mukhid to title it. Okay? So most people have that comes up to most people is, if you go to a hotel, and you want to drink out of a glass in the hotel, so you're not ordering the kashas of it, because it's cold, but you're using a guy's kli, it's a glass cup, and it should need tefillah, but since it belongs to the guy, you're not mukhid to title, even though the yid is using it, the yid's not mukhid to title. That's how most people come to this. Okay? So I'm gonna tell you about a situation that goes on in a different city, under a reputable hashgacha, not ours, who does the following. When business people, a yid has to meet someone who's not Jewish at a business meeting, so what does he do? If they for whatever reason are stuck at a not kosher restaurant, so what does he do? He doesn't eat. He has an apple. He just drinks a cup of water. He can't eat there. It's a fake restaurant. Okay? So someone came up with the following idea. Okay, you put in your adjective. Idea. Okay? Idea. And that is like this. He goes to the restaurant, he's a caterer, he goes to the restaurant, he said, restaurant, when you order dishes, plates and forks, every so often you order new stuff, when you get a new order, give me a bunch of them. Okay, so let's say they order 100 new plates, give me 5 of those plates before you ever use them. And your silverware, give me a bunch of them before you ever use them. Okay, I mean, they're going to be kosher. He takes them to his catering facility, and onto those plates, he puts food, already cooked food. He makes a whole plate full of a meal and puts it onto the plate, wraps it up and seals it and sticks it in the freezer. And now, when a yid comes to that restaurant, when a yid shows up at the restaurant, he wants to eat, he tells them before he's coming, they take the plate with this frozen meal on it, that's on the exact same china and silverware that the restaurant uses, they stick it in the microwave, and when they're about to serve him, when it's time, everyone orders and say, I want this, and I want that, I want pork chops, and I want this, everyone orders their thing, and he says he wants whatever it is, they know who he is. When he walks in, it's already, you know, it's all pre-arranged. At a certain point, they call him, excuse me, sir, we need you in the kitchen. We need you for a second. They pull him out, and they discreetly, he watches them unseal it, and then they bring his plate to the table. So Johnny eats pork chops and he eats a cheeseburger and I eat a steak, but my steak came from a kosher restaurant. Okay, now, but I'm eating. So the sofar is horrific. So we're also the same thing. They get matched so weird, and then
they bring it out with
it's sealed. Thing. It's sealed, and when they bring it, he watches them. They do it.
His plate isn't set. His place.
Or they've set it before. How do they sneak in the
table? Oh, visit me. How do they keep?
No. And then it becomes just part of their dishes. They keep it.
So it's a one-time deal.
Right. Basically like a disposable. But so what we're not going to talk about. What we're not going to talk about is the horrific Shiloh over here, which is the horrible Marasayan. Okay, the guy is eating. I'm eating in a trash restaurant a piece of meat on their dishes. I'm not eating on a paper napkin, an hour-long meal. I'm eating on real dishes. Imagine everybody else, and mine is steak, and his is pork chops, and mine is kosher, and his is not.
So put a sign there, kosher.
That's the whole point, is to not have this one. That's like the whole chop here. That's the Maris Aaron Shiloh is not what we're going to talk about. Okay? You need to ask your private rabbi. Okay, but that's a horrible Shiloh. We don't do that. Okay, another reputable Hashgacha does. Okay, but the question is about the Tzidus Kale.
Well, why am I eating a salad?
Yes, I've aligned them. If you're curious, Rabbi Lubin once wrote an article about a guy who says, I'm going to go to a trade restaurant to eat there. It's a very interesting article about this, and all the things that can go wrong. Okay, anyway, fine. So the first thing is, the simplest thing is like this. If the deal with the restaurant is that the restaurant paid for the dishes, because it's going to be their dishes, they're going to keep the dishes in the end. If they paid for the dishes and they just hand it to the caterer and say, caterer, put on these meals, we have a contract with you, put on the meals, and as we need them, we'll order them from you, these meals that are going to be wrapped and sealed, then of course it doesn't need to be tied for. Because if it goes clean, it doesn't need to be tied for. What happens if, the other way around, if the restaurant says to the caterer, if you want these dishes, we're going to charge you for the dishes. Okay, we're going to charge you $5 a dish, and either you get back the money back later. Well, that's part of the deal. We're not just giving you 20 dishes for nothing. You have to pay for your dishes. Okay, so it seemed to me like this: the silverware. If the yid paid for the silverware, then it seemed to me that the first time you need to have the silverware is when you're going to use them. Okay, by the time that the yid is using them, even though it once belonged to you, by the time he is using them, it's not a Jew's silverware anymore. Okay, at that point, it's already gone. It became the place of silverware. So they put it down in the restaurant.
It was a silverware.
The caterer put the silverware. He doesn't have to tell them. He's not eating with them. He just wrapped them up. He took the silverware, wrapped them in the thing, and sealed them.
Once it's open.
Now he hands it to the customer sitting at the restaurant. And so they open them up. At this point, they belong to the restaurant. Because we know what's going to happen. The meal is over. They're going to clear them away with everything else. They're going to the restaurant. It was sold to the yid, to the caterer, and now at this before anybody uses it, it's gone. It's not going to be. It's not. It's the goy's clean ready. Okay? And even for the plates, where there the fact that the person put the food onto the plate, so there it seemed to me that was that there. It's like our Illinois nut trays.
What
it's trays
for the goy? The mashicha, the need opening up next to mashicha.
The chatzar, everything. I mean, we'll call it chatzar. Okay, it's theirs. And the truth is, it's probably theirs ready even by the time it gets delivered to them. Right? When they deliver meals with the wrapped up silverware, they're delivering and they're saying, here it is, you're ready to go, you know? Okay, but, and so first of all, it would seem that this is like a Klais Chayra kind of example. The caterer who's putting the food onto the plate, for him, he's doing it's just a delivery plate on. And also for the guy who's eating them anyhow, he could just empty it. Okay, so that was. Probably is, I don't know, I don't know, I know the financial arrangement is. I don't know. So if the restaurant owner, it's the simpler case. Okay? It seems to me that even if the caterer bought it, they shouldn't be too. Okay. So now to our bigger topic. Okay. Well, hopefully we have time like this. The kaz is a catch on this machaber. Okay. The machaber said the second case of the machaber was if you don't know if the guy plans on leaving it by you, then misafik you have to tell him. Okay. So the kaz says wait a second. He says why are you using the guy's clay? The guy is not sure if he's going to leave it by you. So the Taz says, isn't that Gnevis Das from the guy? He gave you a kli. He gave you a kli that you should hold on to it. He gave you a kli as a mashkin. He's not planning on leaving it by you. So if you're using his kli, you're you're being dishonest with him. You're, he gave you kli to hold as a mashkin.
He gave you not to use it. What is the deal? You're not to use it.
Who, so you're saying maybe the deal was that you're allowed to use it. Okay, the shach talks
maybe
like that.
Maybe the kid is shayla midas.
What?
Shayla shayla midas, maybe it's mutter.
Okay, so maybe that's an interesting way of looking at it.
Why is gave his das? It's so,
you're right, it's a good question. I'm not sure why he would say it's gave his das. So he's looking at it as, I'm not taking anything from him. Maybe like dumb is equal to shayla. I'm not taking anything from him. He gets back the same plate that he gave me, or whatever, the thing that he gave me, but I'm tricking him and I'm using it. Maybe he says, maybe it's Gnevis Das, because he could have, if he would have known, he would have taken it from my price. I'm not sure why he looks at it as Gnevis Das. Probably because he wants this, somebody cares about Gnevis Das, so it's part of the music. So the Taz says, and we know the Gemara says, that Gnevis Das is also even for Goy. So the Taz says that it's only usher to do the Gnevis Das, at least in this case, if you did something to mislead the guy. Okay, you did something, you told him something, you acted in a certain way to mislead the guy, but you didn't, but over here, we didn't do anything. The guy gave you the thing as a mashkin, and then you sort of chose to use it. He doesn't see that as gnevis das. Okay, so I'm going to mention a few cases, and we're actually not going to talk about the cases, but there's some cases of gnevis das that have to do with what we do, with Kasher's work that we do, which is a lot of cases. In fact, I guess it depends who you are, whether you think there's a few cases or a lot of cases. And one is, people have this impression, there are people out in the world who have this impression that kosher food is better because somebody's watching to make sure that it's more hygienic and clean. So all kinds of ideas that they have about what kosher food is better. So if a person were to, how much am I allowed to say or not say when that comes up? Someone says to me, I want to become kosher because I know that my food will then be under a higher authority, and there will be better food because of that. Okay, which is ridiculous.
He believes that. If he says,
or he says, my customers will think that. Okay,
so, a big difference.
It is a big difference. Okay, or what happens if I give hashgacha? He says he comes to you and says, I want hashgacha for my name, the thing that doesn't need hashgacha. Okay,
water,
detergent, whatever it is, and I say, and either I don't say anything. Or I say something to encourage him that it's a great idea that he should become kosher. So we run into a situation of potential gnevis das. And then this regular gnevis das. Okay, I'm going to tell you just an unusual situation that someone told me about. They said this is not kosher related. A person was taking an online course. And in online courses, there's all different ways that they give tests. You think that if it's an online course, that means you're not sitting in front of a teacher. So how do they make sure people don't cheat? There's all different ways that they do it. Okay, in this class, the tests were on the honor system. Okay, there was no control to make sure you didn't cheat. Other people do, but in this case, there was no control to make sure you didn't cheat. So the person said they don't want to cheat. But then they found out that this person was honest. They didn't want to cheat. But then the teacher basically told them that so many people cheat that I make the test extra hard to compensate for all the people who are cheating. Okay, I know that everyone's cheating in the mail, I make the test extra hard. So this person said, well, now I'm being punished for being honest. I mean, I want to be honest. I want to do like this and not cheat. But the test is really not made for that. The test is really made for people who aren't cheating. But
it's a
you don't think it's a shame?
It's a shame.
Okay. You're being put. Okay. So
you're
between
in an honest system.
You know, there was that.
They're telling you to cheat. It's mostly to cheat.
No, they're telling it's an honest system. They're not 8-year-olds. This is a college class of people.
Yeah, they don't put any precautions in
place.
Okay, so
why did they give the Avdat case in Kashrus?
Yeah.
One got a Hashgacha from somebody and said the cleanser certification attached. That's it. He was working for a different agency. That agency gave a hash on that cleanser.
Really? So he told them they have to use the kosher cleanser?
That's right.
Okay, good. Okay, so...
They have never given that.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you a few things that Gnevis Das. But it would be really incongruous if we'd be talking about Gnevis Das and I would mislead you into thinking that I know everything about Gnevis Das. So I'm just gonna tell you a few things that.
By the way, but cheating at test not just Gnevis Das, could be Gnevis Mammon.
Yes, correct. The Ramosha talks about it. Yes, there's a well-known truth for Ramosha that cheating on tests may be worse than just Gnevis Das. Yes, but we're not talking about that. It's not really a thing. So I'm not gonna really tell you all about Gnevis Das, but just a few things that caught my interest that seemed relevant. Okay. So the first is that there's different, the Rishonim and later places can give two different explanations for Gnevis Das, for why it's also to do Gnevis Das. Okay? Some of them look at the fact that I'm getting something from the person that I don't deserve. Okay, Rashi says, Nimtza machzik loy toiva chinam. The fact that he thinks I did him a favor and now he owes me something makes him, I took something from the person. Or he thinks more highly of me. There's something that I got from him so it focuses more on how it affects the other person. I'm doing something, I'm, so to speak, stealing from that other person. It's called genevistas. And others make it not from the sense of the, from the, what I'm doing to the other person, but from the bad midas that I have for myself. Okay, the Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, he says, "Inyan shebaleiv hu adav shebapeh." A person has to speak in an honest way, and a person who's doing genevas das, it has nothing to do with how you reflect back onto me. It's that if it's dishonest of me, I'm teaching myself, I'm bad midas in myself to talk in a certain way. The Rav Yonah says it as it's part of the kat shakranim. Okay, it's one of the, it's a liar. It's lying has nothing to do with you. If I sit in my bathroom and tell lies, I guess that's also lying. You know what I mean? It's not because of you. It's just, it's because of the bad needs of myself. Okay, and seemingly it could be both. Okay, I'm not sure why people. It doesn't have to be one or the other. There's different angles to it. Okay, and the Kenzayin, if you'll think about it, the Taz may be dependent on these two things. And in fact, lots of Torah that people say about when they talk about Tnei Vistaz makes it, I think, depend on these two sheets. Okay, you'll see. So now, I'm going to tell you two stories from Yitzchak Zilberstein, you'll hear, it's classic, okay, about it, okay, and the first one is like this, okay, one of the biggest coolers that there is about Kneva's Das is, Iud Atiyah Nafshi, okay, if the person fools himself, I didn't trick him, he's convinced himself that something was true, and it wasn't really the truth, then that's not considered Kneva's Das. It comes from the story of the Gemara. The Gemara says there were these two people who were walking on the road, and they banged into somebody else. And the other person said to them, "Oh my gosh, it's so nice that you guys came out to greet me." And one of them says to him, "We didn't come out to greet you. We were heading to the pizza shop. We were heading someplace else. We were going someplace." And after that, the other guy kicks him and says to him, "Mishnah, why did you say that for?" So he says, I said it because I didn't want to think that we did him this big favor. He says, "You didn't have to tell him. He tricked himself. He think we came out to greet him. We happened to be walking down the road. There's a problem that he thought that, and therefore, that's not going to start." And that's the maskana, that it's not going to start if the person tricks himself. Okay? So
that's for something positive, or would be the opposite for something negative.
What do you mean, something negative? What do you mean by that?
Just nasty. Right. Just switch it around. Here it came out a benefit that he did.
Okay.
Right? So I don't know, whatever scenario will be.
That I made person feel bad?
Huh? No, the person...
Fortunate himself.
So why would I want him to think that I just like bit him? Why wouldn't I want to correct it? Here you want it to feel good. Okay? So...
So you do something bad to him.
Right.
Not that he felt like something good, I was doing nothing, I was neutral. Let's say it's coming out that I'm doing something bad to him.
So why wouldn't I correct him? Then I would want to correct him.
He's suffering something, but it was his own fault. It was his own fault.
So you're not McQuint. You may not be McQuint to tell him, but then you would want to. In that case, you would want to tell him. Over here, you want to not tell him because you want him to feel good about you.
It was a booger not to tell him. Say, you're not going to tell him. He's suffering.
You want to do something bad to me, you want to do something bad to
me. Right. So like this. So, when the Machaber says it, when the Machaber talks about it, he says, he could have realized that you weren't doing it for him, then you don't have
should
to
have realized.
He did say he should have. He says, that means he could have. Okay? I don't know if he should have. Okay, I'm not sure if that's right. We'll get that in a second. Okay, so Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein's story is like this. He was a Mashalach, and he knocked on the door. He says the story is not true. What can I tell you? He says he knocked on the door of someone's house, and he's talking to the person, and the person says to him, we have to talk with whatever he has to do. He says, by the way, he's learning this and this thing, and he's bothered by something that's bothering him. He can't understand a certain din, or a certain gemara, or whatever it is. So they talk about it, and the mashallah can't come up with an answer. He can't answer the guy's question. So he gives him a check, and he walks out the door. Okay, so that night, when he's back at the Hafnas Sarko apartment, he says to the other mashallah, he says, he tells me what happened. I went to click by this guy, and he told me this is what happened. So the other Mashal says, "Ha ha! I'm going to that guy tomorrow." So he sits down and he spends his night, going over the sugya. And he has an answer to the guy's question. So he knocks on the door. Now he comes tomorrow, knocks on the guy's door, and the guy says, okay, what are you here for? And he tells him, he says, and by the way, there's this thing that's bothering me. And he says, yeah, he tells me, it's like this. He goes, oh my God, look at this guy. Wow, mom, is this guy, mom's a goyer. And instead of giving me a check for this much, he gets him a nice big check. What a goyer who came to visit me. Mom, you never know who's going to meet the house. From apartment. Mom, is such a thing. And he gets scared. And the guy wants to know what his name does, that he tricked the guy. The guy thinks he's this big guy. He's not guy. He heard about it last night while they were sitting, you know, eating in Great Chicago. He heard about it, you know? Okay, so he says like this. So this exhibit him first says like this. He says, I have a question. He says, the Gemara says, if the guy tricks himself, then it's okay. So he says, he asks a question. The Yerushalmi says, the Yerushalmi, you may know this, it's at the end of Shvi'as, it happens to be. He says like this. If a person comes to, is in a city, and they want to honor him as if he knows a lot, he knows two Mesephtas, and really he only knows one Mesephta. He's not as great as they think he is. He's mechuyav to tell them. He says, so why over there, why does the Gemara say that you're not mechuyav to tell the person? Why don't we say in the Yerushalmi this? Why don't we say in the Yerushalmi this? So I'm not mechuyav to tell you. You think that I'm so smart. You think I know two Mesephtas. So why don't I say, why don't I just be quiet and not tell you that I really don't know one Mesephta? Why do I have to tell you that I know two Mesephtas? Okay. So the first answer he brings is from Marit. And the Marit says that when they say to you, David, you're so smart, you know two Mesechtas, my silence at that point is as if I acknowledge what they said. When they say you know two Mesechtas, then the fact that I didn't say anything is as if I'm agreeing to them that I know two Mesechtas, as if I told it to them, it's like I tricked them into it. Okay? Now, I don't understand what the Marit. The Marit does say that. I looked at it. The Marit does say that. I don't understand it really, because in the case of the Gemara, that's what happened also. The Gemara makes the point that the person said that it's so nice that you came out to meet me. Okay? It wasn't just that they realized that he felt like that. He said to them, isn't it nice that you came out to greet me? So if being quiet is as if saying it yourself, why isn't that in the Gemara also? That's what happened in the story in the Gemara. So the guy said, and to which he responded, no, it's not true. I didn't come out for that. He didn't think of saying it by himself. He said it when, so I'm not sure. But that's what Marit says. So let's just stay with Marit. So according to the way the Marit says it, then see when the rich person, when the guy said the answer, he probably said back to him, man, that was really good. I didn't realize how big of a Talmud Chacham you are. You know, he probably said something. If the guy would have said something, then according to the Marit, the guy would have been mechuyav to say it. Okay, and you only allowed to not say it if it's just the guy, just, you realize that he has that good feeling. But if he would say it, you wouldn't be allowed to. Okay, so then, story's not over. So the Rebbe Yitzchak Zilberstein asked, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, what he thinks about the story. Okay, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, no problem. Hunkin, Sashka the Shmaya for this guy that he got to cut more. He says, really? He says, I'll tell you. He says, two stories happened with Reb Yitzchak Elchanan, exactly like that, or something like that. And that's like this. Reb Yitzchak Elchanan, if I got the story correctly, two times is going to cities for them to consider that he should be the rub of the city. Okay? And two times stories happened that Mamish, it just worked out that the things that they were going to talk to him about were things that he happened to have just seen. Okay, one story was, in the hotel the night before he got to the city, he asked the hotel owner, do you have any svarim? And the hotel owner had no svarim. He says, the only thing I have is a Derech Chaim Siddur. He says, okay, I'll take what I can get. So he takes the, from the seats. He takes the Derech Chaim Siddur, he opens it up, and by Kriyas HaTorah, that's Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. So he was looking through the things that he says there about Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. And the next day, it must have been, you know, a weekday, or maybe it was Shabbos, and he looks at, and the Shabbos came up that Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, right in the middle of davening, and he says to them, I think they're things like this. And they were arguing back and forth, and then someone says, no, let's go look at Derech Chaim Siddur. And they open up, look at that, it says exactly that. My gosh, look at this guy who knows, he said exactly, in his Macham, exactly what Derech Chaim said. Okay, now, that was one story. And the other story was, and I'm going to tell you, I agree. The other story was, Reb Yitzchak Elchanan, this story probably happened a second, he realized that if you travel on the way, you may not have svarim. So he decided that he would learn over a sugya before he left, and that he has something to think about as he's traveling. Okay? So the tosis that he had learned about, which Chaim Kanievsky tells you which tosis it was, he says, the tosis that he had learned about, he came to the city, they were having a shiloh battle or whatever, and he brought them a raya from this tosis. Okay, so again, and they were so impressed, and here he was like, pull out a tosis and who knows where, to answer the kayash about this thing, they were very impressed. Okay, so he said, it's your hashkafah that book that like it. You knew the answer to the guy's question, so the guy is very impressed by you. And So, of course, the question on that is, I don't know what you mean, but
I knew
here, that the guy, when it doesn't seem the same, Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan, it's Taka was Hashgacha, that he happened to know, he was ready for that piece of information. But
now that's what I'm coming to. It's for sure the guy's going to sit and learn the whole night. What that? Try what he's going to learn.
Okay.
He's going to learn different. Okay. The guy was going to sit there and do whatever. then you look at the person.
Okay, so...
But it's a bush in the mother.
That would have been if the guy asked him another question. Oh, I see you're such a Talmud
Chacham. Then they would have balanced out. Okay, so the...
But the bush in the mother, because Ramey, they tried to not call Rabbi Gamliel.
Yeah.
Because Ramey and Ramnasin, right? And put somebody sat, they were going to ask him a question in the studio, so Zokim came and learned from the studio in front of Rabbi Gamliel.
Yeah.
Right? The next morning, Ramey and Ramnasin asked his kasha.
That you're allowed to do it, you see.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so maybe that's a riot. So I thought Pshat, and what Rechenkevsky was trying to say was like this, was, the Mechaber said, I read to the Mechaber before, and it says, Hudavu di boile la suki adayte she'en oise b'shviloi. Okay, which is to say like this, if it's something you should realize, that it might be a coincidence. I'm walking on the road, and two people come to meet me. It could be they're coming to meet me, and I should have realized it could be it's a coincidence that they're coming to meet me. I should have realized that I shouldn't draw a conclusion from what I see. So in the case of Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan, the fact that he knew the answer to that question, they extrapolated from that, oh, if you know this din about Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, you must know everything. Okay? They extrapolated from one, and they should have realized maybe it's just a coincidence and he knows that. In which case, the Mishulach has the same point, which is, the Mishulach, I'm not talking from the underhandedness of the Mishulach. I'm talking about from the side of the person. He saw that the Mishulach knew one piece of information. He should have, it's his extrapolation to say, if you know that, then you know something else also. Just because you know one thing doesn't mean you know two things. Okay, so it's just an extrapolation. Okay, so, and Chaim Kinevsky's point is, it doesn't make a difference whether you prepared or you didn't prepare. The point is, when you told the person the answer, he didn't say you were going because it's a great answer. He says, you know this, you must know so many things. Okay, that's your extrapolation, like in the case of Yitzchak Elkanan. Okay, now, with that, it could be we could answer, if that's what it meant, we could answer the question from Yerushalmi also, because in our all the situations I told you here, the guys who met on the road, and the Mishulach, and the Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan, in all those cases, we know the whole story. We saw the whole story. You were walking the road, two guys came, and two other people came to meet you, and you thought that this is what was happening. Your Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan learned the din today, and tomorrow they asked the Mishulach knew the answer to the question. When the person is in a city, and they honored the person for knowing two Mesechtas, maybe the Mishulach is, why do they think that he knows two Mesechtas? Why do they decide that this guy knows two Mesechtas? So it's reflective on the fact that not that he's going to Das today, he was going to Das yesterday. The fact that these guys think that he knows two Mesechtas, they didn't just dream that up. In our case, we know why they think. If you knew the answer to one question in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, you must know a lot of things. We know the whole story. So you say, look, you fooled yourself. I didn't make you think like that. I just told you the answer to one question. But in the case of the Yerushalmi, the person, the reason why they're honoring him like he knows two Mesechtas is because they must think that he knows something. They say, there's a reason why. So it's not that I'm correcting today. The fact that they said, you know two Mesechtas, I wouldn't have to correct that. It's because if they're telling me I know two Mesechtas today, probably yesterday, I misled them in some other way. So I'm correcting yesterday's Gnevus Das, not today's Gnevus Das. And all the other stories I told you, we knew the whole story from beginning to end. We don't have to correct it. Okay, there's another answer, anyhow, from the show. Before we get to the next story, I have one more story for you. There's a smart that says that if it's the common practice, the smart's talking about if you have meat, and you soak it in water to make it look fresher, that's Gnevus Das. That's a din. It's Gnevus Das. I think it's from a Gemara. The Mechaber brings that. And the Smah says, but if everybody in town does that, then it's not Gnevus Das. Okay? So one person who I asked, talked about this question, said that person has something to do with fundraising. And they said, everybody knows that fundraisers, that's what they do. They think that, they say, oh, I'm going to collect by you. Well, what's important to you? What do you care about? And they prepare themselves to get ready. So if that's the mimic, then every person who's being collected from needs to be cognizant that if they happen to know the answer to your question, there's probably a reason. Okay? If they all of a sudden care about, I don't know what, you know, Arlon, well, some crazy Shiloh, it's not because they prepared before. Okay, so I'll just smile, maybe that's the reason. Okay. The next story. Our next story is, there's a person who went to the cipher, and he found out that the parshas and his tefillin were puzzled. And he couldn't afford new parshas. He couldn't afford new parshas. So what he would do is every day, when davening was over, he would borrow somebody else's tefillin, because he couldn't afford to buy new parshas. But the person felt silly sitting the whole davening, and he wasn't wearing tefillin. So he had a brilliant idea. He says, I have batim, I just don't have parishes. So during davening, I'll wear my batim the way they are, their puzzle, and then when davening's over, I'll borrow somebody else's tefillin, I'll be into the mitzvah, but this I won't feel silly in the middle of davening. So the person wanted to know if that would be Nevisaz, because he's making everybody think that he's wearing tefillin. Okay, he's sitting the whole davening wearing this on his head and on his hand. He looks like he's wearing tefillin, but he's really not. He really is wearing just empty boxes. Okay, so he wants to know if that was Knesset.
I think that he's relieved to wear them.
What?
I think that he's relieved to wear them.
To wear the empty boxes?
Yeah.
Because why?
Because
he's not wearing tefillin. But he's not wearing tefillin. If he wears the boxes, they're not tefillin. The boxes.
But he knows. But he knows.
So you think you should do the wrong thing?
I think it's wrong. I think it's probably shallow.
Okay.
And it's
weird. So to avoid the Marasayan, I should put on this thing to avoid the Marasayan look like a Russia, you think? To avoid, like, okay. Okay, that's interesting. I didn't think like that.
No, that's what embroiders. You know the word fil chanamoyet.
Yeah.
So chanamoyet, you put something to
that. Oh, you know, you told me that. I forgot about that. Yes, I did not connect it to the story. Yes. Okay, I forgot about that. Okay, so Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says it's also in Bafer Shadin. Okay, and the din is in Hilchos Tzitzis. Because what if a person's towels his tzitzis rip, and in the case they're talking about Shabbos, the point is he can't put a new tzitzis, and the person is embarrassed to sit in shul without a towel on. So the din is Mishum, he's allowed to wear his towels without tzitzis on it. Okay, now, the fact that he's wearing a full-corn garment without tzitzis on it is because of Mishum Kavod HaBrias. Okay, for whatever reason, it's only for one at that point, so Mishum Kavod HaBrias, he's allowed to wear the full-corn garment without
it. So
you see that it's not a problem of Knei V'Stav, even though, again, he's doing the same thing. He's putting on this thing that looks like a talus, so he should look put together in shul, and just so people shouldn't think worse of him, he's allowed to do that. And so the same thing for the Torah, it's almost exactly the same case. Okay? Now, of course, in this case, there's no EU date and actually. Okay, the people in shul are not tricked because they dreamt up that if a guy's wearing black boxes, he's wearing tefillin. Of course, every normal person, if you wear black boxes, he must be wearing tefillin. So that head is not going to apply. Okay, so he asks, there's a Gemara that says that a person is not allowed to, if there's a mace, a person is not allowed to have ripped clothing in front of that mace to make it look as if he ripped kriya. He really didn't rip kriya. Okay, he's not that close to the person that he would rip kriya. But he walks around wearing the ripped clothing to make it look like he ripped kriya. He's not allowed to do that. And doesn't use exactly what's Gnei V'Stas, but the implication from the Gemara is that you're not allowed to do it because of Gnei V'Stas. So he asks, what's the difference between that case and the guys wearing the towels? Okay? And the answer, pretty straightforward, but the answer is going to bring out a point. That's the point that I want to make. But before I tell you that answer, you should just know there's a Shita of Rashi, or it appears to be a Shita of Rashi, that says that Rishum Kavod HaBrias, you may be allowed to do Gnei V'Stas. Okay? It's a question whether Rashi means that, and whether maybe Rashi is going with the Shita that holds that Gnei V'Stas may be allowed to do Rabbanon. It's a question what he means. Okay? It could be what we're going to say will be shot actually not Rashi. Okay? So the answer he gives is like this, which is once you hear it, you'll say it's pretty straightforward. And that's like this. The person who wore the ripped clothing to look like he made kriya for this person, that person is trying to give a false impression. He's trying to give an impression that I'm extra from, I'm extra friendly with this person. Whatever he's trying to give over an impression, a false impression about himself, that somehow I ripped kriya for this person when Betson, he really wouldn't. He wouldn't ripped kriya for this person. As opposed to the guy who's putting on towels with tefillin, that person who's doing towels with tefillin, he's not trying to give a false impression to people. He's trying to protect himself and protect his existing where he's sitting at. He's not trying to say over, I'm this super firm person. He brings an example of a guy who wears Kala Elon to make it look like he's wearing Tchelis. Okay, who's trying to look extra firm. You know, I wear Tchelis. Okay, that reanalysis, that's also Gnei V'Stas. So he's not trying to look extra firm. He's just trying to be sort of keep himself at where he is. And in that case, that's not Gnei V'Stas. Whether that's, well, you could question the answer, but the point is definitely correct. And that is, other examples of like that are that Gnei V'Stas very much depends on the person's kavana. If the person's kavana is to fool the other person, that leans more towards us saying that it is Gnei V'Stas, as opposed to if the person is, his kavana is not like that. He has a more honest or sincere or neutral kavana, then it's going to be less Gnei V'Stas.